Good morning. It's 8 minutes after the hour. Dr. Linda Mintel is the host of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show on weekends here on Faith Radio. And she's now on our studio line. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. I guess we should say happy eclipse day.
Happy.
Or is there a hashtag total eclipse or something?
I suppose. Do you have a pair of those glasses? Are you ready to go?
I don't. And I was walking in this morning, and I was walking in with our pediatric neuro-ophthalmologist.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked him, I said, so are you giving students like the big skinny today on what to do? And he goes, they're going to be in class. They're going to be studying. They already know what to do. But I was thinking about it when you were saying once in a lifetime, 7 years. So my dad is 96.
Okay.
So I don't know if in 7 years he's going to be here to watch this next one. So he's thinking about it.
This is probably his once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Right, but he doesn't have the glasses, so I told him, Dad, you know, diabetes in your eyes, don't look at that sun.
Oh,
this is
exactly.
Not a good idea.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Linda, I would like to talk today with you about confrontation and how to deal with it, and I would like to actually try to stick with even work environments today, if possible, because we have a tendency of being more formal with each other in work environments, but that still doesn't mean that the blood pressure doesn't go up. People get flooded. Their pulse races, and I want to ask you how we can deal constructively, faithfully with situations where we get flooded and our brains get neurologically hijacked, and we react instead of respond.
Wow, you sound like you've been reading some good neuroscience.
I have.
That's impressive.
I have.
Well, listen, there's a couple of things first to say to kind of set up the context of this. So the first thing is we have to be thinking about what's going on in the larger culture. And so if you look at college campuses this day, there is such a movement away from sort of an objective conversation with people, with civil dialogue. And what we're seeing all over college campuses is this thing that we call emotional reasoning. So people feel something, and because they feel it, they think it must be true. And so this whole sense of maybe there's a different reality or a more objective reality that would lead you then to have a conversation with somebody about a problem kind of goes out the window, because if you feel something then and it's true for you, then you're easily offended by things other people say. So this whole notion of leading with your emotions has become really difficult in what we call the emotional intelligence world, because there is such a thing called your emotional intelligence, which is different from your sort of what people know as your intelligence, where we maybe take an IQ test or we do well on tests and we know a lot of information. Your emotional intelligence is just what you're talking about, Bill. It's this idea that I'm feeling something. I hopefully have an awareness of what I'm feeling, and then hopefully what I can do with that awareness is I can regulate that emotion so that I can walk out what we know to be the fruit of the Spirit in Scripture, where I can be a patient, I can be long-suffering, I can be kind, I can talk to people with civility. So this whole idea of developing your emotional intelligence is a really big field right now and will really help you in the workplace if you can learn to develop your emotional IQ and not respond the way we're being encouraged in other parts of the culture, which is if you feel something, just go for it. And I think we also need to say that social media makes this a little bit more difficult too, because you can get on social media and you can just rant at people with no accountability and nobody coming back at you, no consequences to pay. So in these other parts of our life, I mean, if we do that and then we go into the workplace, we're bringing in a lot of baggage with us to that workplace, where then we are expected to use our emotional intelligence in order to get along with a lot of people.
Okay, so Linda, let's just say there's, you know, people are driving to work on Monday morning and there's maybe a difficult person at work they have to deal with and they have to get themselves ready to do that again. So there are a couple of different options you can take when you are confronted at work. You can swallow it, or you can, this is an article you wrote, or you can let it go, or you can confront it and talk it out. The last one
right.
sounds the scariest.
Well, sometimes it's difficult to do if the difficult person is your boss and there's no permission given to talk it out. So in those cases, a lot of times in a work setting, you do just have to kind of take it and then hopefully calm yourself down at your desk. And one of the ways that you can calm yourself down, so here's a really good tactic to use, and I teach this to students all the time. When you're in a situation where you feel like you're getting emotionally aroused, and it's exactly what you said that happens in the brain, the feeling part of your brain actually hijacks the thinking part of your brain. And so you just feel, which is why people say things they wish they wouldn't have said, or they do things they wish they wouldn't have done in the middle of a high emotional event. So one of the easiest ways to bring the thinking part of the brain back again is to do something that will distract you. So you could tap on your desk. You could look at the lampshade and start focusing on the lampshade. You could start counting backwards from 10. You could think of three cities in America that begin with A. When you take a task like that and you focus on something very directly like that, it's a distraction technique, then that thinking part of the brain reengages and helps calm down that emotional part. And then there are also some physical things that you can do. You can do some deep breathing at the time. You can close your eyes and you can begin to meditate on a scripture, or you can begin to pray and ask the Lord to calm down your body. You can physically do these relaxation techniques, which are going to, again, calm down the feeling part of the brain.
Okay.
So this isn't something you can't do. It's something that's very doable at the moment.
Okay. What if there's a person at work that is kind of attacking you and doesn't really want to resolve things? They just want to blame. How can you respond in that situation?
Yeah, and if you can see that in a person and you know that that's sort of their MO when they're trying to deal with something, I would just listen to that person and go, you have a really interesting perspective, or wow, I didn't really know how that's how you were feeling, or you push it back on that person and just make a comment about what they're saying. You don't engage with them, because this is one of the things that I teach families in therapy when they're dealing with a very difficult family member. A lot of times if somebody is just really argumentative, they're coming at you, they're blasting you, or the really difficult one at work is the person who always blames you for everything. And so if you've got that person, rather than engaging in that sort of combat with that person, it's better just to go, well, I really heard you, or I understand what your perspective is. I'm really listening, but I'm not sure that I agree. And you kind of take down the emotional tension. So you don't engage in that same kind of emotional tension, because if you do, it's just going to go nowhere but end up in a fight.
Mm-hmm. All right, Linda, I need to take a break. But when I come back, I want to ask you what things we can practice in our minds that will prepare us to respond calmly when we feel like we're getting attacked or blindsided at work. It's 16 minutes after the hour. Speaking to Dr. Linda Mintel. Be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 18 minutes after the hour. I'm speaking to Dr. Linda Mintel of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. We're talking about confrontation, especially at work, and how we learn how to respond instead of react. Now, Linda, I want to ask you about things that we can maybe practice in our minds if we're preparing to be in a situation where we could get flooded, and we really want to respond calmly and not just react.
So I think it's good to remember a scripture, Proverbs 19:11. This is a tough one to actually act out, but it says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. So that's pretty specific. So one of the things we want to be is slow to anger. And one of the ways that we can slow down our own response is to really try to listen to what the person says. Now, I think it's really important at work when you get somebody who comes at you and you start feeling that way. One of the first things I ask myself is this really worth it? is this really an assault on my values, or is this just somebody upset, having a bad day, giving an opinion, lashing out at me? So I try to reason in my own mind, is this something I really want to take out? You know, it's that old saying, choose your battles. Is this a battle I really want to fight with this person at this time?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first question you kind of have to ask yourself. And then you need to ask, is this person somebody I'm going to actually be able to deal with in terms of getting to a point? Because what you hopefully want to do when you're feeling really upset like that is to acknowledge that the person is upset, so to give some kind of acknowledgement to that. Then you have to make sure that you're speaking calmly. So, again, just be very aware of your emotional, that flooding that you're talking about. Take a couple of deep breaths and really try to speak calmly, even if you're being attacked by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that isn't the easiest thing for people to do, but it helps if you just repeat what they say and say, is this what I'm hearing from you? And then that avoiding the arguing back. So again, you don't want to do tit for tat. You really have to work on staying calm. And that's why that distraction technique in your head is a good way to do it. If you're just feeling so upset and they're coming at you, seriously, just start counting to 10 in Spanish in your head, and it will re-engage that thinking part of your brain again. And then if you're really, really having difficulty, I think a really good technique is the one we teach kids, and that's just say, you know what, I need a minute. Take a time out. Go over to, you know, a corner of the building or something and calm yourself down and say, okay, God, help me stay calm. Help me be slow to anger here. Help me just to breathe, take a deep breath, and know that you're going to help me with this.
Mm.
And then go back and reengage with the person.
That's interesting, Linda. See, you could almost very innocently say, would you excuse me for just a second? I need to run to the bathroom, or something of that nature, just to give you that little space that you might need just to calm down.
I think that's really helpful. I mean, that's hopefully one of the reasons why we teach that to children when they're younger, is we're trying to teach them, you're so worked up right now, you're starting to get out of control. Go sit over there in the corner and let yourself calm down. I mean, that's the whole point behind time out, taking a time out because you're so upset. And adults need to also do that so many of the time, because that's the issue, is if you just react, like you were saying, if you're just reacting to things, this is when we get ourselves into so much trouble. And it's interesting, there's such a disturbing scripture to me in Matthew that talks about we'll be judged for every careless word.
Ooh.
And so I think about that. I think, I don't want my words to be careless. And if I speak without thinking, and that's the issue, is you're speaking without thinking, you're just speaking out of your emotions, that emotional reasoning that is so popular in our culture, then you hurt people and things don't go the way that they need to go. So the whole business that's in the Bible about being slow to anger, to listen first, to, you know, try to speak the truth in love to somebody, takes a lot of practice, but it's a sense of being aware of your emotions and then being able to regulate your emotions, which is the work that we all have to do.
Linda, what if the confrontations involve personal attacks to your character? You know, you're in a work environment and you feel like, oh, I really want to defend myself, but I want to do it in a professional manner, and I obviously need to set boundaries. But all of a sudden, ooh, I just feel like the line just got crossed because you went after my character.
I think you just addressed that directly, Bill. I would say to the person, wow, that feels a little bit like a low blow. Now you're talking about me or my character. Let's get back to talking about what the problem is. So you can redirect the conversation. But again, that takes a lot of awareness in the moment, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does.
To say, ooh, this is about my character. But again, that's the work of developing your emotional intelligence, which is to understand how you operate and what your emotions are, and then begin to work on regulating. And a good regulating strategy is just to put it back out there that we're off base now, or now we're talking about things we really shouldn't be talking about, or this is all about your anger. Let's get back to what the issue was that's the problem, or what's at the root of that problem that's bothering you so much.
Mm-hmm. Linda, any advice for a peace offering if you've had a horrible confrontation last week and now you're going to work this week and there's awkward tension? Is there any suggestion you can make for someone that would like to maybe extend that olive branch?
Well, I think we need to follow biblical guidelines that are given to us in Matthew 18, where it says, if there's been an offense, and even if you didn't create the offense, I would go to that person and say, look, we had a bad interaction. I want to clear the air. I apologize for my part of that. Because again, in some kind of offense, each person has some part in an offense. You may have been just a passive listener, or you may have responded back in a not so good way, or you may not have been willing to ever address the issue. So just go to that person and apologize, because that goes a long way. And I think that's part of not just overlooking the offense. Sometimes we can just overlook it and say, Lord, just going to let that go. I forgive the person. I choose to forgive. But if you know it's creating that awkwardness in your relationship, I would go to that person. I actually did this a few weeks ago. I went to somebody at my workplace and said, I think it got a little heated in that conversation. I didn't feel good about it when I walked away. I want to make sure that we're okay, and I want to just apologize to you for the tone of my voice and for getting so excited. Mm. And it made a huge difference in moving forward with that person.
Mm-hmm. Linda, next time we chat, I would love to talk about just how we communicate from a generational standpoint. You know, sometimes you get people our age, and then we're working with maybe kids, younger adults that are much, you know, they just come from a different generation. So they
because of social media. I think there is a big difference in terms of their inability sometimes to deal with the real social situations and personal interactions. So that'd be a great topic.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you come up to someone, you know, who's 25 and this 25-year-old always says to you, what up? How many times do you hear that before you start going nuts?
What up? What up?
What up?
You can say it back. See what happens.
Yeah. All right, Linda, thanks so much for being on the show. I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
26 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. And then when we come back, we've got news, we've got Breakpoint, we've got all kinds of great stuff. And then Dr. Richard Land at 20 minutes to the hour. Stay tuned. Be back in a minute.
If you're picking up drive-through coffee this morning on your way to work, tell them Bill says hi. And make mine a double. The Early Morning Late Show on Faith Radio.